This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world. Occasionally.
We're going. We are rolling.
It's been a long time.
Very long time. I apologize.
Has it really been since October 26th? We've actually gone over a month without recording.
Yeah. This month has been, it's been crazy. I thought it'd slow down, but work didn't slow down, and then family stuff, doing stuff, Thanksgiving and all that. Busy.
Yeah, holidays are a busy time. Plus, we're going into winter, so that makes stuff busier for me because I have storms come up. Business picks up at work, family stuff, so it's been busy. Really, though, we've only skipped one recording, basically.
Yeah.
And I was doing some fill-in weeks for a while there, but my life got busy. It got to be more work than fun. I had one week where I had a bunch of stuff set up, but I had two people cancel on me, so I would have had a couple of extra episodes in the bank, but, you know, people for various reasons had to cancel.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Get out of here, cat. Good Lord.
Yeah, you had some good stuff set up,
too. Didn't want attention all night.
You had some good stuff. Bowie thing with JK, that would have been cool, but life happens, you know.
Yeah, exactly. He ended up having a spur-of-the-moment con to go to. I had another creator set up with, and a little bit of miscommunication ended up making that not work out. And then before we rescheduled was when I was just like, you know what? I don't even care anymore. I need to take a step back. So took a step back, but here we are recording. So normally we have a little bit more. I know you have some stuff in particular you want to talk about, but I think that this episode will be a little different for us because it's been a while. So we're just going to jump into it, roll into it, and get talking about whatever has been getting us through this tough month that we've had. So you had something specific, so why don't I let you get started?
The B story. Okay. I asked permission to tell this story because it's my wife. So anybody that, I don't know how many people listen to this that listen to 2BT. Last week, Dave came actually to my house for the first time in a year. It was our 1 year anniversary. We recorded the first episode here. So for our anniversary, he came over last Saturday and a bee got in the house, got in here. We were recording. It was harassing me and I ended up catching it and having to, you know, put it outside and also, and we never cut it out that part. We just kept it in. Well, Thanksgiving was last week, and you get leftovers, right? So my wife had made some homemade cranberry sauce with real cranberries and all that stuff. Well, we clean out the fridge, and she put it out for our dogs to eat. Well, the dogs didn't eat it, but yesterday she noticed there were some bees on it. Well, that got her interested in bees, okay? So she got the cranberries, put them in a pan. She did some reading. And she filled it with some water, kind of rehydrated it all. Today, when we got home, she set it out on our porch. There were literally, I swear to God, there had to have been 1,000 bees on our porch. It was insane. And we couldn't go out on our front porch. You know, our dogs have been wanting to get fed. The dog food's out there. We can't get to it because it's in a can because the bees are crazy. And, little overboard. Didn't really understand. We really didn't expect that many bees to show up, and they were like trying to get in the house and chasing us around. I set up a video camera though and got some really cool bee action close up with a video camera. But yeah, be careful with the bees because, you know, we expected maybe 30 or 40 bees to be out there. She wanted to like feed them for the winter and didn't go so well. We have apparently a lot more bees around the house than we knew.
Wow, that's quite a story.
Yeah, it's exciting.
We see less bees around here and more wasps, because we get a lot of wasp nests around our house, so we're always battling them. But we'll see bees here and there, but we'll see those big, fat, like, fuzzy bumblebees.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up, I never got those, because I grew up in the desert, so we had bees, but they were just, you know, kind of normal-looking bees.
Yeah.
But here, we'll get those bumblebees. Get out of here, cat! You passed on the attention when you could have had it. My cat's sitting under here meowing at me. Seriously, we're sitting there watching TV for an hour. She doesn't want anything to do with us, literally, until we get up to go to bed.
That's a cat, though. Like, same thing with us. That little kitten we have, Smeagol. She'll be sleeping half the day, and then it's time to go to bed. My wife likes to read. She'll have her book, and the cat just wants to sit in front of the book half the time. Yeah, cats are annoying.
Yeah. She's getting her way, though. She's getting pet. She won't shut up till I pet her now. So
as long as she's not bothering you.
She's a good cat. She really is a sweet cat. That's why we adopted her. She's 6 years old, and I finally caved on getting a cat because I have allergies, but my allergies haven't been too bad, so it's been good.
That's good.
Hopefully it's making a difference with the mice, but I think we finally killed all the mice off in our house, and hopefully she'll keep them at bay in the future. But this year with the weather we had so much humidity over the summer that all the little pests that live off of stuff that grows, just they went crazy because they had enough food. So mice, squirrels, it's been ridiculous.
Yeah, that's something that drives me nuts. Knowing there's a mouse in the house keeps me up at night. And it becomes an obsession. I mean, setting traps everywhere. And those little crappy suckers.
We had so many damn mice in the house. It was ridiculous. We finally, I think, figured out where they were mostly coming in, got that closed off, but we've killed 14.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. I'd have to move out. I can't deal with knowing they're just running around. We had a little bit of a problem for a while, but it drives me nuts.
Yeah, for the most part, we were killing them in the basement. We would set up traps, like, right outside our basement door. Regular floor of the house, like first floor of the house, but you know, in the basement side of the door.
Yeah,
we killed a bunch that way, and finally, this one was just still being a problem downstairs. And I put a trap under the stove, like I pulled out that drawer that's under your stove, and I put a couple traps back there. Had it dead within half an hour, and then my wife found out that there's a built-in bureau up in our bedroom, and she had a bunch of stuff stored away in there, and she realized they were having a field day in there. So we had to throw out a bunch of stuff, including a Christmas present that we had tucked away from my son for quite a while. And so she got it all emptied out and cleaned out and stuff. And I put a trap in each drawer. And by the next day, we had killed that mouse. So we got the couple ballsy ones that were just doing it right in front of us, basically.
Yeah.
They're dead. 14. And actually, she just found another dead one in the garage today. So we were at 15, I guess.
Good Lord.
That should have them pretty much done, though. But you learn every year. You deal with a new problem, you learn more stuff. But
true.
That's life. You just keep on learning, keep on living, keep on moving. And I'll tell you something that I learned. So this, going into stuff that's a little less boring than bees and mice, I guess. But
yeah.
So we've talked before about Filmstruck, right? And I think I've mentioned on here that Filmstruck is ending, and I believe it just officially ended. It has closed its doors, as you may. Anyway, so I heard they were ending. When I first discovered Filmstruck, I was like, this is great, because one of my problems with watching movies is it's hard for me to stop, because I never get to sit and watch something all the way through, so I have to stop in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard when you're watching with a disc,
Yeah.
And usually I'll watch now on my PlayStation, but the problem is my son plays Minecraft on there. So if I have a disc in there, it's going to come out for Minecraft at some point, and it's not going to save my spot,
Yeah.
So when I discovered Filmstruck, I was like, this is great, because that's the great thing about streaming. It saves right where you left off. So I had a little box set of 4 Kurosawa movies. And I had picked up one other Criterion movie, 3 Outlaw Samurai, which I highly recommend. And when I discovered Filmstruck, I was like, oh, this is great. They're all there. So I traded those in at Bull Moose, put the money towards getting my son a birthday present back in the summer. And I was like, oh, that's great, because I can watch these whenever I want. They're all on Filmstruck. They're not going anywhere. And then I hear Filmstruck is ending. So,
yeah.
So I was like, kind of kicking myself. But I always knew that Barnes & Noble had a Criterion sale in July.
Yeah.
I didn't ever realize they also do it in November. So twice a year, Barnes & Noble has a Criterion movie sale where it's 50% off everything.
Yeah.
And I got I showed you about this already, so this is not news to you, but I had got the box set of the Zatoichi collection.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, so the list price, I guess you'd say, is $200. So it's 50% off, so it's $100. And then I have a Barnes & Noble membership, so I saved another $10.
Yeah.
So I got it for $90. 25 movies. So that's less than $4 a movie. And let me tell you, I had watched the first two on Filmstruck, and I've watched two since then. They're good movies. Definitely worth it. Highly worth it. I mean, you just get so much in that set. It's kind of cost prohibitive because you have to spend so much at once. But the cheapest I have seen a movie, once again, like list price, like a single movie, is $30. That's the cheapest I've seen anything with Criterion.
Yeah.
And that was DVD, and that was Three Outlaw Samurai, actually. I'm sure there's other examples. And then if you get a half price, it's $15. So, I mean, that many movies, it's like, well, I could have gotten like a handful of other ones, but I got the Zatoichi collection. It's really cool, too. The set's nice. It comes with a little book, and there's illustrations by a lot of different creators, including Matt Kent, which is,
really?
Of course, my favorite one in there. Yeah, he does an illustration in it. A couple other comic creators that were pretty familiar with you too, but I'm going to completely blank on who it was. I haven't looked at it in a little while.
You'll have to send or put it on Twitter, post of that Matt Kent one. That's interesting.
I'll have to tweet that out. Maybe I'll actually start using the Occasionally Save the World Twitter handle more. Maybe. So I took Twitter off my phone. I will just jump right in another topic and then go back to Criterion.
Yeah.
I took Facebook off my phone. I took Twitter off my phone. I check Facebook maybe once a week, and you know what? When I check it, there's nothing interesting on there for me.
Yeah.
My wife posts stuff, so I don't have to worry about my family seeing pictures of my son and stuff like that. Because if she posts it, they'll all see it that way. So that was my main reason for keeping Facebook. I'm still not going to delete my Facebook. I just have no desire to be on there.
Yeah.
I don't miss that a bit. I also took Twitter off my phone. Now, what I'll do, because I realized, you know, how often do you want to post a picture on Twitter? Like, it's pretty often, right? So I'm not going to go through the trouble of putting a picture on my damn computer to put on Twitter. So I'll just go into my browser on my phone and log in that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a hassle, but I check Twitter maybe a few times a day that way, post a couple times. And also when I'm on there, like, I'm not on there nearly as much. Like, I'll see if I have any notifications, and I'll scroll down a little bit to see if anything catches my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of time I'm wasting on Twitter has dropped greatly. And, you know, I was just getting sick of what everybody gets sick of on Twitter. Everybody's posting political stuff, negative stuff.
Yeah.
Now, especially now that I've stepped off of it, if I see somebody is just posting too much of that stuff or sharing too much of that stuff, I'll just unfollow them.
Oh, yeah.
What does it matter? You know, I don't need to follow a comic creator. I will follow their work if I like them. I don't need to follow them on Twitter or any other kind of personality. I don't think I've really had to do that with any friends or anything, even though some will kind of lean a little bit that way from time to time. But I can, you know, I have no problem people sharing their opinions to an extent, but mm-hmm. when you're drowning my Twitter feed with negativity, I don't want any of that. So.
Yeah, I fell off of Facebook quite a while ago. It's been months. I mean, I'll check maybe once a week, just jump on, and I don't even scroll through. I'll see if there's any notifications, like for the VCP League or something like that. But other than that, I just have lost interest in it. And I'll check Twitter like once a day. I don't really do much on it, but I like to see if there's any interesting things pop up. Most of my time I spend, like, I have a couple of apps that have news feeds that I kind of look through, actually get information instead of opinions. And, that's mostly what I do. I don't even interact with that many people online that much, unless it's like direct messaging or something, and it's not that I don't want to. I just, you know, I found that I've got other things I've been trying to focus on. And, you know, these things that are so important are also really a time drain, you know, and they take your attention away from things that are a little bit more important. So,
And that's the thing, is even just having a casual friendship with somebody on social media that you enjoy talking to, every relationship takes fostering. It takes work.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, make sure you're regularly kind of talking to them. It's too much work. And, you know, I've had people that I talk to a ton when the situation suited them, and then their situation changes. and that's not their priority anymore. And then suddenly it's like I have people that I used to talk to daily that I don't talk to anymore.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing either. Their life changed and they moved on to focus more on life and not focus as much as talking to people online. And that's definitely one of the things that I've more and more come to realize. And that's why, I mean, I was already texting you rather than anything else, but a few other people I talk to regularly, I basically just said, hey, do you mind if we text, if we have something to say instead of this other stuff? Because I don't want to have to like stay tethered to Twitter just in case you send me a direct message or something.
Yeah.
I did leave Facebook Messenger on there because hardly anybody uses it anymore anyways.
True.
But, you know, that's the same as texting, essentially. It's not tying into anything else, but I don't care about the news, period. Like, news, yeah. I don't care about the news. I don't care about people's opinions on things. I have sports apps so I can see what's going on with sports when I want to, and even that I get tired of. I don't know. I'm just definitely realizing that I wasted a lot of time on stuff that didn't matter at all. So, back to Criterion. I'm actually going to get back to what I was just talking about a little bit later, but I have to kind of orient some thoughts that I wanted to share on that.
Yeah.
I saw something that Martin tweeted, got me thinking about kind of how I've been working towards this for several years. I think a lot of us have. And anyways, I'll get to that in a little bit. Back to Criterion. Okay. So I also I did one other thing. So that sale was going on for a little bit. I ended up ordering Seven Samurai. That's my favorite Kurosawa movie, right now at least, and so I had to get that. I mean, I probably shouldn't have. That was a, you know,
it's essential though.
That make excuses to splurge another $25 after dropping 90, though. You know,
you gotta have that one. I mean, that is probably. I agree. That's the best one. And I used to work at Barnes & Noble, and when that sale came around, I always just about all the Criterion movies I have. They're not a lot, but they're. The ones I have, I got there because I was right there on top of it, knowing when the sale was starting and stuff. And they're just a high, just the packaging alone, you know, not that it matters. I mean, the movie itself is what matters, but it's just nice because they do put so much into
it. Aesthetic. Yeah. Yes, I got those. So now you know, I got those when I knew Filmstruck was dying, going to close down. Now they've announced that they're going to start a Criterion streaming service.
Which is cool.
I got an email from them today talking about it. So it sounds pretty cool. Hopefully it gains more traction. But they have something right now where you can kind of get in on the ground floor. I forget what they call it. But if you sign up now, I mean, basically all you're doing is sharing your name and your email, I think, was all that it really was.
Yeah.
But then when the service starts up, you'll get a free 30-day trial of it. Oh. And then after that, as long as you keep your account active, you will get it for $9.99 a month instead of $10.99 a month. Or $90 a year instead of $100 or $110 a year, whatever it was for the yearly. Hmm. So, it's just why not do it? Because at the very least, you're getting a free 30-day trial.
And oh, yeah, yeah.
If you're not sure, if you're not sold on it, then, you know, whatever. You get a 30-day trial instead of, like, a 7-day trial.
Yeah, that sounds good, yeah. I guess they just kind of wanted to restructure or something, but, I mean, that's mostly what you're on Filmstruck for anyhow, was the Criterion movies.
That's what I was on there for. It's actually, I think it was most really headed by Turner Classic Movies. The email I got said something like, basically, that they had to get permission from Turner Classic Movies to pursue it or something. It had to be something with like the contract they had. I don't know. I don't know all the details of it. I don't really care. I'm just glad to hear that it's coming back. And the email did say too, it's not going to be just Criterion movies. They're going to endeavor to have the same kind of presentation that Filmstruck had. So I don't know why Filmstruck failed and they think that this is going to succeed, but you know, maybe, you know, whatever. I hope it succeeds, because $10 a month is a real cheap way to be able to have that kind of access to Criterion movies. And there's a ton I'd love to see.
Like,
I don't even regret the fact that I want to buy ones that I've watched more than I want to buy ones that I haven't watched, because I know that I'm going to appreciate owning them, you know.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're looking at $30 or $40 a movie, and you can, you know, if you only have it for 6 months, I mean, think about how many movies you can go through in that amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you even watch a couple movies a month, it's paying for itself. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's worth it
at
that rate.
Heck, yeah.
Sorry, my cat's driving me nuts. Is about to have to chuck something at her. I think she got the point. All right, so that's my talking about Criterion movies. That's one of the big things in the month since we've talked last that has drawn my interest. I watched a couple of the Zatoichi movies. I also listened to, I think I might have mentioned it to you, but there's a podcast called, oh gosh, what the heck is it called? Let me pull it up on my phone.
I can't remember.
The Blind Podsman is what it's called, but it goes through
episode. Say the name again.
The Blind Podsman. PODSMEN. But it's a podcast that a couple of guys did watching through the Zatoichi movies. So I started listening to that, not so much because I really care about their opinion on it, but it's kind of nice to be able to listen and refresh about what you watched, especially because the first two movies it had been a little bit.
Huh. Yeah, I don't remember hearing, but that sounds interesting, though.
Yeah,
they just kind of go through the movies and discuss the content and stuff like that.
Pretty much, yeah. So they add a little bit more, you know, context or details to it. But for me, like, I'm awful with names with anything. So for me, it's kind of nice listening to it because it kind of reorients my memories to stuff that have already happened. So that way, when I watch the next one, I'm just kind of refreshed for it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's fun stuff there.
Good podcast if you check that out.
It's kind of like, Ed Moore does the his Usagi podcast, which is another, kind of same kind of thing. If you're not keeping up with it currently, you can kind of still feel what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's basically what I had heard about this from, I think it was from Josh Rathburn, who does one of the Valiant podcasts. I'm pretty sure that he mentioned it to me, so I checked it out. And then didn't really listen to it. And then when I started, I watched the third and the fourth movie, and then I was like, I don't really remember the first and second one. Like, I remembered the movies well enough, but I didn't remember the details, names, stuff like that. Like, there could be characters that carried on into the other movies, and I wouldn't have a clue except for Zatoichi, basically, because I'm not good with remembering names until they solidify in my brain. So I listened to the episodes for the first couple of movies, and it did kind of refresh a lot of things, so it did add to the experience.
That's one of the things I like about podcasts is, especially ones like, you know, if it's a Marvel podcast or a DC podcast, Aftershock podcast, whatever. I'm not currently, like, keeping up with almost nothing I'm keeping up with. But I still like to know what's going on. And a lot of the podcasts do a good job of, like, giving a synopsis, you know, of what the storyline's going, like with Tom King's Batman series, what's happening there. I'm not buying that. Someday I might go and get like a collected edition or something like that and read through it. But it's just neat to know what's happening in the comic culture or with other things, TV shows, whatever. It's fun stuff like that.
You know, interesting thing you just said about the Tom King Batman. Let me ask you this first. In comics, what is your favorite comic property? What's the, you know, your kind of number one thing? Like, for some people, it's X-Men or Batman, like you just mentioned. What would be your kind of go-to thing?
The go-to things I have been, until recently, I just stopped, mostly financially reasons, but I'm, like, stopping. I always get Valiant until recently. I'm, like, I'm going to just wait. If I want to keep buying them physically, I will. But the Comixology Unlimited is so good with what Valiant does such a good job with what they have on there that eventually almost everything will be there. So I don't have to be currently up to date. But, you know, like you mentioned Gideon Falls, Jeff Lemire's stuff, Matt Kent's book, The Black Badge. That's kind of what I've been keeping up with. Rumble. Is one of the ones, just little things that, Seven to Eternity, little things that I found outside of, like, the mainstream. I don't really follow that much on the, you know, DC or Marvel or anything like that.
No, that really helps make my point. So that didn't help much.
No, okay.
Valiant would probably be the good example for you. No, I'm with you. Like, those are the things that I like to read the best. Valiant's the good example with you. Like, for me, one of the examples would be Ninja Turtles. Like, I'm going to keep getting Ninja Turtles because, yeah, I could get it for cheaper by getting it collected later or something like that. But there's a different experience between getting it now or getting it later. So one that I've been thinking about that I've been getting, I actually have the third issue sitting in front of me, is Uncanny X-Men. So as far as, you know, big two properties, you were talking about Batman. This one made me think about this. So we know a few people who are huge, avid Batman fans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And some of those people have been absolutely just hating on Tom King's Batman. But for the most part, they keep getting it because even if it's meh Batman, it's still Batman, you know?
Still
it's,
Batman,
there's still
yeah.
something about getting it when it's coming out and experiencing it when it's coming out, not just putting it on the shelf. Because you know what, for me, for Batman, I read some of the first of Tom King's Batman, the first, I think I got into the second arc by a little bit and then I stopped. Mm. And, you know, like on Hoopla, I can get those volumes. They come out fairly quickly too. But now we're like, I don't know, 10 volumes in or something like that. I don't really have the desire to read any of that. You know, it's not that it's not a judgment on whether it's good or bad. I just don't have any desire to. I didn't keep up with it, you know? So with this Uncanny X-Men, so it just started. This is the third issue. Mm-hmm. Now, for my perspectives on getting comics, it has a few strikes on it. First of all, the first issue was double-sized and cost $8. I hate that. Don't give me a super expensive first issue. Don't throw in bonus crap. You know, like, I don't want to have to pay $8 for the first issue. But no. I did for this because I love the X-Men. There's been a lot of X-Men books out, but what got me excited about this is it's Uncanny X-Men. So to me, this feels like one thing to target, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the first strike, $8 for the first issue, that didn't make me super happy. The second strike, this is a weekly book for 10 weeks. I don't like weekly books either. I don't want to have to spend $16 a month if they're $4 cover price to keep up with one story. You know, like I don't have a big comic budget. I want my budget metered out to where I'm not just sinking it all into one thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second strike against it. So, you know, I'm sitting here, the third issue came out today, and I picked it up, and I'm looking on Twitter and seeing people, you know, various people saying they don't like it, and, you know, they're not going to continue with it or whatever, and, like, that I agree with. If you don't like it, don't continue with it. That's,
right.
That's for sure. But, you know, I was also kind of thinking about, like, people are, you know, I don't know. I guess when people go out of their way to talk about not liking something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, I don't quite get that, but like, so for me, but I'm just weighing all these different things and debating, like, do I want to continue getting this or not? But ultimately, even though like I am pretty irritated about the $8 price on the first issue and that it's a weekly book for 2.5 months. And then it goes, God, it better be monthly after that. The quality of the writing and stuff, like, I'm not saying I don't like it, but it's also not knocking my socks off, you know?
Yeah.
But it when it comes down to it, like, I've been wanting to get an X-Men book that I can just get when it comes out each month, you know, or in this case, each week for a while. But, you know, it's the same thing as with Ninja Turtles. Like, Ninja Turtles, there's the main story. There was TMNT Universe that ended at 25 issues. They have the side stories in different that they've always had going in different ways. Right now they're doing 4 issues of a macro series. So each one is double sized and cost $8. I can always just stick to the main thread, but then I have my Ninja Turtle book to go to.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've decided to stick with Uncanny X-Men. Even though there are many things that are strikes against it for me, because Uncanny X-Men is that special thing for me, just like Batman is for quite a few people that we know. And that just goes back to the whole Twitter thing. It's like it also gets kind of tiring going on Twitter and seeing every time an issue comes out, somebody, I read this, I didn't like it, it's not good. Was that a useful tweet? Just move on, you know?
Yeah. I don't mind people sharing their opinions. I didn't enjoy this. It's when it's constantly, they're constantly hating on it all the time.
Yeah, and, it's a weekly book, so. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But. But, one book I'm actually looking forward to, and it is costly, is that Sword Doctor book we've talked about a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
The next book comes out next week or two, I believe. And I really want to follow that. I don't know if I'm going to, like, wait for an image sale on Comixology, because I'm just doing it digitally, and that's how I got the first books. That's a really good one. That's one of those core books that I actually am keeping up with right now.
Yeah, and some of the things I like about that one, too, is first of all, we know that it's most likely going to have a relatively short, like, run of issues.
Yeah.
I know I had tweeted Brian Wood and asked kind of what the plans were. And I believe he said that they have it planned for 9 issues or 12 issues, and then after that they would see. We've already seen that after the first 3 issues there was a gap before the next 3 issues. So it's kind of their format of how they're releasing it. I like those things, though, because once again, I have to meter my comic spending. So for this comic to be a $5 comic instead of a $4 comic, like, one, it is giving you those additional pages. So proportionately, it is working out. But then on top of that, like, it goes for a little bit and there's a break. So there's a relief on the spending for a little bit. As I was actually thinking today, trying to think about how many comics am I getting, and I'm getting not that many. Like, I'm getting those Turtle Macro series, which, it once again, kind of annoys me to have an $8 comic.
Yeah.
But it's just 4 of them, and honestly, what I plan on doing, once I got one and knew the second one was coming and I wasn't going to, you know, screw my shop with it, I figure I'll get the 4, and then I'll list them on eBay and make a chunk of my money back, because somebody will want to pick them up at a discount that decided not to get them on the first go round because of their price, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm getting that. I'm getting Uncanny X-Men, which for 10 weeks is going to be kind of a burden. I'm getting one for my son. I'm getting him Scooby-Doo Team Up. That's the one he picked. He chose to do that over Teen Titans Go. So he's getting the Scooby-Doo Team Up comic. And then I actually forgot about Sword Daughter because it was on hiatus. And I'm getting Border Town.
Yeah.
And, I think that's it. But, yeah, so it's nice to have a comic like Sword Daughter. It has a little bit of a hiatus. So then when I want to try something new, it's not always like – it's not just piling on. You know, you get some periods where you're spending a little bit less. Oh, yes. Also, The Life of Captain Marvel. But I haven't read that one yet, because the 5th issue comes out in December. So I'm waiting until we have all 5. It takes place in Maine to a good extent, so that's what got me to get it in the first place. I just figured, it's a 5-issue series. I'll just get the whole thing, and then I'm sticking them aside for my wife to read when we get them all in, because I know that's how she would prefer to read it.
Yeah. I just remembered you were talking there. I remembered another book that I'm loving. Well, it's not even a book. It's the whole spectrum of Jeff Lemire's The Black Hammer titles he puts out. I'm just constantly amazed. I was going to send you 2. I think you said you had the first one or read the first one. I sent you the second one. I had misplaced the third one. I had actually read them in reverse. I actually got the third one first, second one, and then it's really weird. But the this is how good his writing is. It didn't matter. I was like, I bought the third. I found the third one. I'm going to save it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to save it. I'm going to read it. I read it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so compelling without me knowing what he had in the first 2 issues. Then I went back and I got the second issue. Then I got the first one. It's really weird, but it didn't take away from my appreciation of the story because the storytelling is so powerful. So those are really loving. And, those are a couple of the books I'm really focused on there. That and, like I said, Sword Daughter. I've been waiting for a long time for that. And they probably are just kind of pacing it out, you know, put the trade out. But you had mentioned in another book is, you'd mentioned that you'd read the first trade of Gideon Falls to me. That's another book that I am following closely. I'm not necessarily up to date, but I'm close to up to date on that.
Yeah, that's, you know, there are a lot of books like that that are good, but I also, like, I don't want to pile on monthly books, and it's really easy. And so many of the books, like, if you're not just piling on, then you don't realize that it's worth getting monthly until you're a chunk into it anyways. I mean, that was the case with Gideon Falls, quite a few others. Yeah, that one I had picked up a handful of issues on a Comixology sell for like a buck an issue, and liked it. And I actually, the reason I read the first trade, I'd read a few issues of it, and I had gotten the first trade on Hoopla, and it actually, like, I'm like 2 days away from it expiring. So today I had to get my snow tires put on. So while I was sitting there, you know, in the shop waiting, I read through all that whole trade. So I reread, I think, three issues, and then three of them, I think, were fresh. Or maybe it was four and two of them refreshed me. But, man, that is a good book.
It's a good book. I think I'm probably into what would be this considered the end of the second trade. And it's so – the art, everything about – there's so much work put into it, so much detail, and – there's kind of a, I'm not going to say anything to spoil anything for anybody because I highly recommend reading it. It's worth reading. It's a huge mystery about the way the story is told from two different points of views, two different, angles in a way, right? There's a guy that thinks everybody thinks he's crazy, trying to find pieces of this black barn. And then there's a priest in the small community that also is dealing with rumors of this black barn and murders happening. There's this huge climax, this big payoff on the last issue that I read. Can't remember which one it was, 8 or 9 or something like that. I'm really like where this is going. And I think he's got like a TV deal in the works.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's with Dinesh's company or what, but it's really a special. And I don't really go into the horror that much. I guess you could call this kind of a suspenseful horror. It's not like a lot of gore or anything. There is some violence and death and all that, whatever. But it's just a good, interesting story. And something that I thought early on from like a couple of the early issues, just based on some of the art hints, ends up being paid off at the end. The last issue I got, I'm like, oh, so, okay, this is really what's happening. This is really cool. So, yeah. I don't know. The guy must have like a big vat of magic genius juice or something in his house or something that helps him produce all this stuff.
Yeah, that book is great. It was good rereading it today. Like even the stuff that I reread was still compelling. And I don't reread stuff a lot. It's been a little while since I read it, so at least I had that going for me. But when I got to the fresh stuff, it was just, oh man, it was so good. And as it unveiled more things.
Yeah, there's lots of big reveals as you go along. It's like, whoa, I didn't expect that. Yeah.
Yeah. It just like you're saying too, like all the books you mentioned are books that are really catching my attention. And, you know, some of them I wasn't even noticing until you got me to read them. And I think some vice versa. A big thing I've been focusing on, this goes back to kind of what I was saying earlier. I saw Martin tweet something about this, about working on minimalizing.
Yes.
That's something that, you know, I've been thinking about and working on doing for years now. You can go back to, I mean, for years of us doing the Valiant podcast, like I remember quite a ways back when they did the Bloodshot Reborn director's cut. You remember that?
Yeah.
So it was a $5 comic, and it was without the colors. So you saw the art without the colors, and then there was some bonus content. And somebody got on and was just complaining about it, So I just said, if you don't want it, don't buy it.
Yep.
They've just got bent out of shape about that because people don't want to hear that. They want to complain about everything. They want to get the stuff that they don't want. They want to complain about it, and it's all noise.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was like, I think, an earlier example, because at that time, it's like I was kind of adding all the noise I could into my head. You know, being involved in all this different Valiant fan stuff, listening to as many different podcasts as I could and all this stuff. It's like there's so many ways to get some level of entertainment for free or easily or, you know, without too much effort. And just more and more, just like it was, it got to where it was detracting from enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know, the more emphasis I put on everything, it was just too much. And, you know, at that point I started like kind of backing off more. And, you know, it's like I've said many times, like everybody kind of knows that I, quote, don't listen to podcasts. That's not really true. I do listen to podcasts, but I listen to very few and usually yeah. only one at a time because I don't want to like muddle everything in my head. I don't want a bunch of monthly books, you know, like new books each week that I have to struggle to keep up with because I'm not going to enjoy it because life is taking too much room in my head. And that's what
you've got a limited amount of time, and time is precious, especially when you're dealing with a lot of stress from work and family and everything else you have to do. And, you know, everybody that can keep up and stay on top, God bless them. I admire that. And if it makes them happy, that's fine. But I got to a point where I'm like, I can't worry about that. I'm just going to kind of just appreciate what I appreciate when I get a chance to. It's kind of like Nick, you know, from Nerd Legion. He's always had it kind of the right way. He does, I think, almost everything on Comixology. And he, you know, he just reads what he wants to read right now. A lot of time, you know, look for a sale, find a big chunk of it, get it, read it, enjoy it. He's not really pressured by the need to stay up to date with everything. And that's kind of where I'm going right now, personally. I mean, since the last time we spoke, the only comics I've read, because between work, family, other things, trying to focus my attention on other things, like I try to do NaNoWriMo, which was a big failure, if I can write 45,000 words tomorrow, I'll have a completed novel. but I tried, and I got some good ideas. I got some good work done. I've just been, you know, focusing on things that I enjoy. And I'm not worried about keeping up anymore. And, you know, I really like my big thing is I'm really looking forward to the next Image comic sale so I can get some more Scalped.
Yeah, what we're going on right now, by the way. Scalped is Vertigo, though.
Oh, that's Vertigo. I'm right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. They did have a DC BOGO sale on there. I don't know if that's still going, though.
Yeah.
And a DC BOGO sale would include Vertigo.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that.
Yeah, it was recently. But, I mean, they always come back up. The best thing to get is to get they'll have some sales that'll get real cheap. Sometimes they'll have sales, and then you get a BOGO code pop up, too. That's the best. But, yeah, you know, in every aspect of what entertains me more and more, like I'm realizing this, not just that, but I mean, that goes with getting Twitter off my phone, getting Facebook off my phone. It's interesting seeing how other people approach it, you know, especially Martin, where he, you know, does pursue so many, he listens to tons of podcasts and stuff like that. Maybe he's even changed it that way. I don't know. He mentioned that he talked to Nick on it on Nerdy Legion, but once again, I don't listen to many podcasts, and I'm not going to get around to listening to that. From time to time, I'll listen to a podcast specifically to hear a specific topic, but a lot of times I'll download one that I want to, I just never get to it, and I end up deleting it off my phone because at a certain point, it's like I'm not going to go back to it. But it's interesting to see how other people approach it, and I think it kind of gives you courage to realize that you don't have to do things. You know, you don't have to keep up with monthly books. You don't have to listen to podcasts. You don't have to listen to all your friends' podcasts. I think the hardest thing was getting so deep into Valiant where, you know, like getting all the books and doing the podcast and being an admin on the Facebook group and all this stuff. When it got financially too much to get all the books for a while when we were pursuing getting a house, you know, it was hard to make that decision. And, you know, I kept on toying with, like, well, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. Like, I ended up wasting some money, like, okay, I'm going to get trades instead. And I started getting some trades and decided, like, no, I'm going to get digital. And I got all this stuff digital. And now, honestly, I couldn't care less about Valiant right now. I know at some point I'll go back and take another look and find plenty of stuff to enjoy. But, you know, going through that struggle where, quality was maybe not always consistent and things were changing. And then once the company got bought out, it wasn't because the company got bought out or because the quality went to hell. It was, there were all these factors that were already pushing me that way. And then that was just the last little thing to make me say, you know what? I'm done trying. Done trying to keep up with this. And it's been good because eventually I'll want to read it again. And if I kept on trying, I would just eventually get to where I never wanted to read it again.
For me, just the fact, two things, I guess. One is, I don't have the space necessarily to just keep getting physical. I mean, there's special comics I might want to keep getting physically because I just want to have that as, it's kind of like a memory on the shelf. You can go grab it and look at it.
Yeah.
But it's just so convenient to have it on the digital. Since I got this bigger Kindle, I can just, anywhere I am, I can have access to it. If I'm waiting at a doctor's office, there it is. You know, that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. It just makes more sense to me because I don't have to. That's kind of an obsession because I'm a very obsessive to where I get on a roll. I have to do this. I have to have every copy of this. I have to do all of this. I don't have to. I've realized I can get it, wait for it to be on a good deal or, you know, through Comixology Unlimited. And I have access to it. And, to me, that is a lot better than like overrunning my house with everything. Because what am I going to do with it? Because it's so hard. The other day, I sent you, the second issue of Quantum Age.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find the third issue, which I had bought first because I'd put it on a shelf. I couldn't remember. Unfortunately, the saddest thing about digital is you can't necessarily share that. So that's the hard part.
Yeah, I like having a little bit of a mix of it. Like, I'll send you stuff sometimes, you send me stuff sometimes, and, you know, other people be involved. But, I mean, just with everything, not even just with comics, you know, movies has always been something that's been on the back burner time-wise, but now it's like there's movies I want to watch. So if I want to watch a Zatoichi movie, that means I'm not reading comics for probably a couple days to get through a movie. Or I've been playing the first of the like current run of Tomb Raider games. I didn't even realize it was originally a PS3 release. You know, it's the one that the third one just came out. So like, there's the first Tomb Raider obviously goes back to like 96, I think it is. And then there's been kind of different iterations in between, but this is like the current run. I had bought it on a PlayStation Network sale at some point for pretty cheap, like probably $8 or something like that. Like, it was real cheap. And it's been sitting there unplayed for a long time. Since I've gotten the PlayStation, I've had a PlayStation Plus membership, which it's not super expensive. You, like the normal price, it's expensive if you get a monthly, but a year is $60, which is just $5 a month. You get at least two free games each month. And then you need to have that to be able to play with people online. And then on top of that, like on the PlayStation Network, you'll get a little bit more discounted. So like if a game is, you know, 50% off for everybody else, it'd be like 60% off for you or whatever. So I've had this all this time. And in the couple or so years that I've had it, I've played the free games a little bit, but I have all these games that I've actually paid money for that are just sitting there. So it's like, you know, how do I do this? So then you start feeling like anxious, like I got to play through these games. So I just, they have a Black Friday sale with it where you can get a year for $40, which is even cheaper. Hmm. That's just like ridiculously cheap, right?
Well, heck yeah.
But I sat there, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get it because I don't need more free games I'm not going to play. I'm not taking the time to play with people online. So, like, I just don't need this. You know, that $40, it's like, over the course of a year, I mean, what if they actually did offer a free game that I really, really wanted? With $40, I could buy a couple of games because I'm going to wait until they drop in price and get them for, like, $20 anyways.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Like, that's just another example. And now I'm playing Tomb Raider because I'm like, I bought this game. I want to give it a try. I remember what finally got me to try it was I had traded some stuff in a GameStop before my membership there ended, so I could get some extra like value out of trading the stuff in. Just once again, like spending money on a membership that then puts pressure on me to spend money and buy stuff I don't have time to use.
Yeah.
So I trade stuff in. I got a game. I didn't like it, so I wanted to return for something else. I was looking at what was like in the price range, and I saw the second of the Tomb Raider games, Rise of the Tomb Raider is what it's called. And I said, well, I have the first one. Let me try it out real quick. So I downloaded it, played it for like 5 minutes, sold, bought the second one. I really enjoyed that. So then I said, well, guess what? I'm going to play this now. I started another game. I said, I don't want to play that right now. I want to play this one because I tried it out and I like it. And I have been loving that game. Absolutely really? Loving it. Spent $8 on it probably a year and a half or 2 years ago. Just been sitting there. Yeah. And I love that game. That game has been great. So instead of worrying about like scratching up $60 to go get Red Dead Redemption 2, which I'm hearing mixed reviews on, or you know whatever else, I finally went back. I'm playing this game and I'm loving it. And if I want to play the game, I'm not doing anything else that night. I'm playing the game. I'm not trying to fit in watching some TV shows or reading some comics or, you know, it's like there's only so much time, so you got to get rid of the noise. You know, like Martin's doing, simplify. Minimize, get rid of the stuff that you don't need. That's really what I've been trying to do with everything.
Because really, if you look at it, there's a lot of stuff we don't need that we fill our time and spend money on that's just ridiculous. One of the things I was looking at coming up, New Year's coming up, it's not a New Year's resolution thing. It's just like, okay, there are a lot of books I want to read that I haven't read, both comics and just like novels and things. And there's a lot of books I have that I've, it's like you said, buying stuff that you don't ever get to. I've got tons of stuff I could fill my time with. Like, I'm going to make a list and I'm going to try to get through, this list of things that I want to revisit and, you know, take a first look at. There's a couple of series. I'm still working my way through the Dresden Files on Audible, and the Expanse series is going to come to an end, I think, next month. And I'm going to get that and do it. But after that, I've got a lot of open like options on what I can spend my time either listening or reading. So I'm going to try to like streamline it to be more focused on just kind of what I want to. Not just because it's the big new thing. Just what do I want to put my eyes and ears on, you know?
Yeah, pretty much the only thing that I'm keeping up with getting that's a little bit on the pricier side is the Ninja Turtle hardcovers that IDW is putting out. That's the one thing I decided, you know what? I know I haven't even read through the first volume of this all the way of the IDW collection. Then they also have the Ultimate Collection. That's all the old Mirage stuff. I've read just about all of them. Actually, I think it's the sixth volume I have of that I have not read yet, but I've read the first five of those. But, yeah, I mean, aside from that, it's like I'm not worried about, oh, I got to get all the hardcovers or trades or whatever of this or that. I'm mostly getting it all digital, and I have other physical stuff. But, you know, it's like there were a couple books that I had sent your way that after my purge ended, I was like, okay, I kind of regret having gotten rid of those.
Yeah.
So I made a deal to get them sent back my way and, you know, send you some stuff. But one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is – you have to look at what you have and really ask yourself, am I going to get to this? And if it's reasonable that you're not, just get rid of it. If down the road you regret having gotten rid of it, buy it again. Big deal.
Yeah.
Because you'll end up saving more money because when you do that, you really break the habit of acquiring stuff. So you end up saving more money even if you go back and buy something that you got and got rid of. I had sent you one of those Fantagraphics Donald Duck books, right?
Yeah.
Those are super fun. Like I've read several of them, but kind of Christmas time, I got into collecting them a bit. I bought a couple with some store credit. I traded for a bunch of them, got other ones with store credit. So I didn't really spend a ton out of pocket. But I was starting to get hooked on the collecting bug. Oh, I gotta, you know, what other ones do I need? I gotta get these before they're hard to get. And then it just kind of got a little too far, and I realized I wasn't going to be able to keep up and stuff. And I had only read a little bit of it. And I finally realized I wasn't really going to, enjoy it all this way. So I stopped buying them for one. Then I started saying, okay, I'm going to read these and then get rid of them, sell them. I sold a couple on eBay. I sent one to you in our trade. But I just sold, I chose five to keep. And I sold 10 of them to one person, gave him a great deal on it. But just, you know what? I just got to get rid of them. I recouped a chunk of my money. That's going to help me out right now.
Well, heck yeah.
But it keeps stuff in check. Like, I strongly suggest doing that. If you have shelves full of books you don't read, I bet you can easily, challenge yourself to pick out 20% of those books to get rid of. Once you do, you're going to go a little bit, and then you're going to want to get rid of another chunk. You're going to find it really easy to get rid of stuff, and you're going to feel better for it. I suggest that to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's good. Good policy there. So you watched Crimes of Grindelwald, right?
Yeah, my wife and I just went to see that. She's much more into the sci-fi and fantasy stuff than I am, although I enjoy, as far as sci-fi, or I guess Harry Potter stuff would be more fan, whatever. I've enjoyed Harry Potter. I don't love it. I'm not obsessed with it, but I've read all the books, I've seen all the movies, and I've enjoyed it all. It's before this movie. The last time that just her and I went to a movie was the first Fantastic Beasts movie, and it was awful experience. We ended up being front row because we bought the tickets too late, and she was just miserable to go to the movie with. She just complained the whole time, and I was like, I'm probably never taking her to a movie again. But then my son got old enough to go, and there's this other place that we go that is a little more suiting to what we like. What they like, at least. I like the movie-going experience, getting there early, watching the previews, like having that time of just being separated from everything. But anyway, so she told me she wanted to see this spur of the moment the other day on my day off. Sam was at school. So we looked it up. We were able to buy tickets. We were the first one to even buy tickets to the movie because the theater we went to, you actually select your seats. And we went out, we actually did a little Christmas shopping first, then we went and grabbed some lunch, then we went to the movie, and it was a good movie.
You liked it, though. Okay, because, we in my house, there's Harry Potter, there's Lord of the Rings, and those two are not necessarily all driven by me. My wife is as big a fan and oldest daughter of Harry Potter than much more than me. But I enjoy them. I love them. My wife and I actually, we binged all the Harry Potter movies and then the first Fantastic Beasts movie. And then we went, as a family to watch the newest one. And my wife and I, we loved it. There's a lot of stuff going on though. It's crazy. And it has got more negative reaction than I've seen any Harry Potter movie get. And all of the movies they put out. It's crazy. And she's actually reading the screenplay right now. That's how into it she is. But yeah, we loved that. We went to a theater we went to an Alamo Draft House, which is a cool theater, but I do not like going to an opening movie at a place like that because there's just too much going on to distract and things like that. But yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of it. And in fact, that I read the first two books when they first came out back when I was working in a bookstore. And I never but as soon as we went to that, my wife and I were both reading them together. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on reading wise is going through the Harry Potter books. And there's a big jump in quality from the first to the second, I've already noticed.
It climbs pretty quickly. It's been a while since I've read them, and I've only read them once. But I don't really think I'm particularly eager about reading them again. Just because I don't often do that anyways. But I talked with you about this, but I've had a hard time getting back into reading books for a variety of reasons. But
the last time we spoke, you were starting some Vonnegut.
Yeah. So I did. Yeah, that was when I kind of told you all about it. That I'm I honestly think I'm getting over some built up fears with reading just from past life problems. But my wife, one of the things that we'll do is, like, I kind of, like, will get her onto watching something or whatnot, because if I want to do anything, like, I got to have her busy with something, too. So, like, I got her going through rewatching the Harry Potter movies again. She, you know, she enjoyed it, but I just realized with the movies, going through those again, I didn't really enjoy them the same way. I'd probably enjoy the books more than the movie, honestly, but they also, the special effects didn't hold up well. I mean, it's not awful or anything, but, like,
yeah,
the special effects are showing their cracks. Lord of the Rings, too, that was another one where
we started watching
that, and then as we went, I just lost interest. I've just, you know, I've really discovered and I've come to accept, although it's not it doesn't prohibit me from trying or finding things that I like that fall into these categories, but I'm not a fan of sci-fi and fantasy, and I've tried really hard to like some things that are just, like, liked by consensus.
Mm-hmm,
but, like, Star Wars, you know what? I give up. I'm done trying to like Star Wars. My son doesn't really care. Like, he got kind of into Lego Star Wars a little bit, but that is, like, totally, like, his last interest for Lego stuff. Like, he chose on his own that he wanted to get rid of his Lego Star Wars books.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has all these, like, Lego books, and the Lego Star Wars ones, he chose all of them to get rid of. So we're actually going to give them to a friend of ours that has a couple of kids, and we knew we'd appreciate them. But that was when I was like, you know what? He doesn't care. Why am I trying to care? Like, I've tried to, like, really like those movies and the whole thing. Like, I can appreciate it, but I don't like it. I'm never going to.
It's not something you, I mean, you might end up watching them at some point in time if you just have nothing else to do. And I don't blame you. You fixate on what you want to fixate. You that's just like I said earlier, your time is limited. Why waste it on something that you just don't love or even like, you know?
Yeah. So I give up with Star Wars. I give up with Lord of the Rings and all that. Harry Potter, I can enjoy that. I enjoyed Fantastic Beasts, but, like, I'm not going to be the one going, like, let's watch through all the movies again. It'll more be like, you know, my wife will be watching through them, and I might watch some, and I might not watch some. But I definitely, like, Harry Potter, I think, is, like, I know a lot of what draws people into fantasy and sci-fi is the depth of the worlds that are built. But, like, Harry Potter, even though there is a lot of details in there, especially, like, the movies, like, they're really approachable movies, and they're kind of adding layers as they go to stuff, rather than you go into it, and, well, everything is already figured out, and so, like, there's...
No, it builds a lot. Yeah, it builds and builds and builds, but one of the basic things, I think, that drew people to it, and Dave asked me last week, why was it so successful? I don't know the answer to why, but I do know that one of the interesting thing is, Harry is the character that's the chosen one that's supposed to be the savior. But at the same time, he's so special, he doesn't feel special. You know, he has insecurities, he has doubts, and he doesn't get through anything hardly without help from somebody else. So it kind of gave it, like, a lot of kids, I think, that were reading it at the time when they first came out, like, I can kind of identify with this. My family says I'm so wonderful, but none of the kids at school think I'm great. I don't have any friends. You know what I'm saying? It's like she did something special when she was writing that book, that series of books.
It's the Peter Parker of sci-fi or of fantasy.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that's why Spider-Man is so easy to like, is because Peter Parker is an underdog, and even when he has the power, all he gets is crap from everybody. Like nobody supports him and loves him.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Harry Potter. Like, you don't get that with anything else, you know? You just don't. Like, you know, Lord of the Rings is not an underdog story. It's a very tightly woven, well thought out, complex, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, even you look at the Fantastic Beasts movies, and you still get that underdog perspective. You know, like, Newt is an underdog. As opposed to Harry, he knows who and what he is. And he also just doesn't care what anybody else wants or thinks. So, it's different that way. But we were very surprised, though, that it went... Like, the first movie was a lot more whimsical. And the second movie got dark. And it didn't,
very dark.
It didn't take much time either.
very dark. J.K. Rowling and the Harry Potter books, they get darker and darker. And in her other books that she's written, there's a Cormoran Strike series that she's written, I think under the name Richard Galbraith. They are extremely dark. Extremely dark. It's kind of like, I don't know if you ever heard of the Idris Elba series called Luther that follows a British police detective through him solving crimes. It's kind of along the same lines as that, where he's presented with these crimes. He has to figure it out, except he's a private investigator as opposed to an actual policeman. She deals with some really dark material in some of her like adult writing. But it's my wife has read the books. I've watched the shows. It's really good though, if you can stomach some of the awful stuff that's presented. But yeah, she's good. She's a pretty creative person. So we took a little break there. One question I have to ask you is, and I've like for the last month, I've not read many comics at all, but I have downloaded the first 6 volumes on Comixology of Hellboy. Mm-hmm. And, I saw today there's a new series set in 1956 coming out. Is this something you're going to get into?
So what that is, and I haven't actually just actually heard about it. I wasn't ahead of the game on it. I believe I had talked about how I finished reading all of BPRD Hell on Earth, right? Mm-hmm. So I read all of that. Now, at the same point that BPRD went from just BPRD to Hell on Earth was the same point where Hellboy went to Hellboy in Hell. But Hellboy in Hell was only 2 volumes. BPRD Hell on Earth was 15 volumes. So it went on a lot longer. After Hellboy and Hell ended, they started having like different things. Hellboy and the BPRD, and they're like each one has a different year. It's stories of Hellboy working for the BPRD at different points in time. So it's not like something that like you need to read those stories when they're coming out to make sense of everything else. They're just more stories. This new one, I want to say it's like 1956 or something like that. I don't really know the whole picture of those. I've read some of them, but I haven't read all of them. I kind of figured, because there's just so much in the Hellboy universe, that I had purchased all of the Hell on Earth trades. So I said, I'm going to read through all these now. And then once that ends, then you go to BPRD, The Devil You Know, which is going on right now, which I think is going to wrap up the BPRD story altogether. If I understand that correctly. Once I finish that, I'm still going to have all these Hellboy and the BPRD things to go back and read. Plus, there's some other like Hellboy offshoot stories to go back and read. I've been reading Abe Sapien. I read through a good chunk of that, but I have that to finish up. And then once I finish that up, then there's also Lobster Johnson, Witchfinder, a couple other odds and ends thing. And on top of that, he has the whole Baltimore series that's really good too, that is like unrelated to the Hellboy universe.
But
kind of feels like it's in the same world essentially, just at a different time. That's what that is. I didn't even know it was coming out. There's just so much stuff that goes like really strongly with the whole thought of like, we don't need to keep up with what's new. I decided to dive into reading BPRD Hell on Earth for 2 reasons. One was because I had purchased all this stuff. I purchased it with money I made from selling physical copies of stuff. So it's not like I just was, you know, whipping out money I didn't have or something. But I purchased all this. I need to read it, you know? So I finally like just said, I got to get going on it. And I focused on that. And boy, did I enjoy it too. I definitely learned reading through that much BPRD that there are some kind of ups and downs as far as like how enthralling it is. But you get through those little down moments, just like with anything, you need the juxtaposition of the highs and the lows to really appreciate and enjoy the highs. It was great. I greatly enjoyed all of it. So I'm looking forward to getting into some of the other stuff. But so that's what that is basically, is more Hellboy stories, just from different points in time.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I've been wanting to get into Hellboy for a long time. I've watched the movies a couple of times. I know that they're not necessarily what comic fans were wanting. I know they're doing a reboot with a guy from Stranger Things as Hellboy. But what is it? See, that's on top of my list. One thing I'm going to dive into is the Hellboy books. What is it, to sum it up quickly, what is it that's compelling to you that makes you love it so much?
I started checking it out when Dark Horse finally started selling stuff on Comixology, which has been quite a few years ago now, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. They had a sale. I had never read Hellboy. I had seen the movies when they came out growing up, but like didn't even think of them as comic book movies. They were just movies, you know? I didn't care about comic books back then. So the Dark Horse, you know, combines up and they have a sale and it's $6 a trade. So I ended up, I don't know why I bought six, but I bought six. So I bought six trades of Hellboy and just started reading it and was just sold pretty hard right away. And it goes with the same mentality of why I wanted to start doing the Comics of Black and White podcast. Was one of the elements in comics that was a common thread to some of the stuff that really sparkled for me is stuff that was kind of one creator's vision. And like oftentimes it's one creator doing everything on their own, hence Comics in Black and White, where usually a lot of it's not colored because that's, you know, something that, you know, either you pay somebody else to do or it's just a lot more additional work. And a lot of stuff that's being put out by like one person that has this idea and just wants to make it, you know, you got to make it affect, you know, like possible too. But like Hellboy to me is a lot like the Ninja Turtles, where it was an idea that one person had, Mike Mignola, and but over time, like his name is on every book, but yeah. Like there's always like BPRD Hell on Earth. Arcudi wrote all of that. Like Mignola's name is on it, so I like obviously he had a part in it. But like you can tell that like it's still like one person's doing the writing. It's not like it's bouncing around between people. It's not like, you know,
yeah,
Arcudi's writing one book and then Mignola's writing the next one. And you like Arcudi wrote Rumble too, so you like you know that he's good. You know, you like his stuff. Hellboy is just great like that, where different artists, different like Dave Stewart's done the colors on pretty much everything, so there's a colorist that like really jumps out as being high quality and like setting the tone. Different writers. Josh Dysart wrote a Hellboy story that's a fantastic one. It's actually probably the darkest one that I've read. But yeah, so like Hellboy is like it's like a very distinct vision and it's very creative and different. Mike Mignola's art was the first thing that drew me into it because it was such a different kind of art style. And like his style is obviously really distinct and like anytime you see it with anything else, like it piques your interest, right? So
yeah.
So I mean, I just kind of like once I started getting sucked in, there are just so many aspects about it that I liked that, the more you get into it, the more you develop a taste for it too. It's like Mignola's art style is strange; it's different. You know, it's rougher and less defined. So at first, it may just be interesting to you. Then after you read enough stuff, it grows in quality to you. And but then like also like as you keep going, a lot of the stuff isn't drawn. Like BPRD Hell on Earth is pretty much not at all drawn by Mignola. It's drawn by all these other different. So you see all these different art styles, but you fall in love with the characters because there's all these really well developed characters too. So it's not just Hellboy. If it was just Hellboy, honestly, like it wouldn't have grown to what it is. But you have Hellboy, and you have Abe Sapien, and you have Liz Sherman, and you have all these other different characters. A couple of my favorite characters reading through Hell on Earth is Liz Sherman. Who, you know, I mean, like, she goes all the way back to Hellboy, but having her gone for a long time and then come back into it kind of made me realize, like, how much I liked her as a character and wanted her back.
Yeah.
The other one is there's a Wendigo in interlaced through some of the stories. I love the character of the Wendigo. And in throughout Hell on Earth, so the Wendigo is like a creature, but it's possessed by the spirit of a murderer. And the only way the murderer can free his spirit is to be killed by another murderer. And then that, so it's supposed to be like an evil person takes their spirit, takes over the body. And then to get out of it, they have to like basically trick another evil person into taking over the body. But at one point, an innocent person gets trapped in this body. He's not bad. He doesn't want to be evil. So he's trying to be like good and civil and stuff. And it's just so sad. And it just makes it so good. Cause it's not just this nasty evil creature. It's this, this innocent person who doesn't want to murder people stuck in this thing that can't die.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then it ends up crossing paths with this other character, and it's just – there's so many, like, intertwining things and all of that that's so good. So you have a ton of stuff to dive into. The really good thing for you is, like, first of all, a bunch of it is for free on Comixology Unlimited, but they're starting to release it all in omnibuses that are really affordable. Even if you paid full price for a physical copy, they're affordable. They're like $25 each or $30 each. But
oh, really? Yeah.
Watch Comixology sales because you can get those omnibuses for $5 on Comixology sales, or even I think it even as low as $3.99 is the lowest I've seen them. Like I got the Hellboy and Hell omnibus, which is basically two trades for I think it was $4.99 at the most. But you can get so much of it for that cheap if you just keep on watching for those Dark Horse sales.
Yeah, I got to stay. I'm looking forward to get into it. That's kind of one of the things I'm going to dive into. So I'm looking forward to that. And I got one more question before we jump into Christmas movies real quick. You mentioned you don't reread a lot of anything. But if you were to, like, okay, I want to jump into one or two titles and reread it. It doesn't matter if it's whatever genre or whatever it is, comics or novels or whatever. Is any one or two things jumps to mind that you would be at top of your list?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, there's some stuff I want to reread. I want to reread Sweet Tooth, which was, I think that was the first Jeff Lemire thing I ever read. Was I got a trade of Sweet Tooth from the library. And I've read the whole series before, and I want to read that again because I read a lot of that before I'd read much else by Jeff Lemire. One thing I have reread by Jeff Lemire is Essex County, and that book is excellent. I want to reread Mind Management at some point, but it hasn't been real long since I finished that. But at some point I want to read that again. So those are a couple comics-wise. And then, of course, like the Ninja Turtle stuff. I have all those hardcovers. The 8th volume is coming out next week. And I've read part of the first one over and over. But, like, I haven't even finished. So that's one thing that, like, that's one of the reasons I want to clear out the stuff that I'm like, I don't really need to spend all my time focusing on trying to get through these things. So at some point, like, once my Marvel Unlimited is up, before I do any other Unlimited thing, that's one thing I want to do is dive into those Ninja Turtle hardcovers and do, a full reread of all that. And then, like, once I catch up with the hardcovers, I'll just kind of continue rereading as the hardcovers come out, because I'm reading it as it comes out the first time, and then that'll be my second time. So comic-wise, that's some of the things. Book-wise, I didn't finish it, and I'm probably not going to worry about going back and finishing it, but I was I was reading Galapagos by Kurt Vonnegut, and that was a reread. Rather than finishing that, because I finally had a return to the library, I'm probably going to just go read Cat's Cradle again, which I've read that twice before. Probably Slaughterhouse-5. Breakfast of Champions is one that stood out to me the first time I read it, so I'll probably give that one a try too. I also want to reread some Faulkner stuff. The Sound and the Fury specifically was my favorite Faulkner book, although As I Lay Dying was really good. I'm listening to an audiobook of his short stories right now, so that's kind of getting me in the Faulkner mood a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Those are a couple of authors that I want to reread some of their stuff, but...
Well, let me know when you decide to jump into Mind Management again or Sweet Tooth, because I've read Mind Management twice, and I'll go through that again with you, and we could have just some talk about how great it is and some weirdness that it has. I have all of Sweet Tooth. I bought like 3-4 issues for a buck each somewhere once and read those, and then I went out and immediately like found a great deal on the whole run. I still haven't read them. So I want to like, I need motivation to like tackle what I already have here. So yeah, maybe we could go through that. You've read it once already, so maybe we could kind of do that together. So
yeah, I'd actually be happy to dive into that soon. That's something I've been wanting to do. And like I'm at a place right now, I'm going to continue to work on reading Uncanny X-Men until my Marvel Unlimited membership is up. But aside from that, I need something to dive into, and I'm a chunk through the IDW G.I. Joe stuff that I have from a Humble Bundle, but that's also not going anywhere. That's the kind of thing that I'll dive in and read like 2 of the hardcovers and then take a big break from it. So I'd be totally down to jump into some Sweet Tooth. I kind of need something else like that to go back and forth with.
Yeah, just let me know, because I've been wanting to. I just kind of like I get into something and I forget I've got it. It's one of those things. But yeah, I that's something I really want to read.
I just let you know.
You did? Okay. We're going to do it then.
Now.
You messaged me earlier. Top Christmas movie.
Yeah, so I was planning on talking about Christmas all through this podcast, but then I ended up talking a lot more about decluttering my mind, I guess. But yeah, you know, I mentioned, you know, one of the things I keep on seeing on Twitter is people complaining about books like The Uncanny X-Men that they don't like. Another thing I see a lot of is people complaining about people liking Christmas. I mean, not just liking Christmas, but Christmas music and Christmas movies. And why are people decorating and posting this stuff? Obviously, this has been for a little bit. So this year, I actually started getting into Christmas before Halloween. My son loves holidays. He really loves holidays. All of them. And I'm pretty sure I started watching Christmas movies before Halloween this year. And I'm cool with that because I love Christmas. And I understand, like, not everybody loves Christmas. I have, you know, people that I work with and stuff that really don't like Christmas for the reasons that, you know, you'd expect people don't like Christmas. And that's fine. You know, it's not going to be for everybody, but I do get tired of the people that just like don't think that they should be exposed to it because they don't want to. Like, it's not late enough in the year. Screw that. Like, I love Christmas, and I was happy to put my tree up as early as possible. My son loves it so much. My wife before would never put it up before Thanksgiving. She'd do it the weekend after at the soonest. She had it up the weekend before this year because he's so enthusiastic about it. I love everything about Christmas. I love watching Christmas movies. I love Christmas music. I don't get tired of any of it. I always think it's funny when people complain about like Christmas music being played everywhere. I've worked in a job for 15 years that plays music.
Yeah.
There's always music being played that I don't like. So a lot of times there's music being played that I can't stand. I don't notice it if I don't want to notice it. So everybody that's complaining about Christmas music, you're choosing to notice it. If you can't tune it out, that's your own problem. You need to get a little better control of your own mental faculties at that point, is what I say. But yeah, so anyways, I was just thinking about it. I didn't really expect you to turn out to be a Grinch and to say, I don't like Christmas movies.
I'm not a Grinch. I love Christmas. Christmas, and you said Christmas movies, and I'm like, Christmas movies? I can't think of any Christmas movie, but then I like, thought about it, and I'm like, well, there are actually quite a few Christmas movies that I actually do like. Christmas, any negative connotation I have of Christmas has nothing to do with the actual holiday. And I worked retail a long time also, and the Christmas music thing is either if you don't like it, you just kind of learn how to tune it out. But usually there's a lot of stress, family-related stress, that kind of puts has put in the past, much more so than now, a negative connotation. But I'm not necessarily a Grinch. But yeah, I like it. Looked up what Christmas movies. So I Googled it, and like this list popped up, and I'm like, wow, I like a lot of Christmas movies. I actually like wrote down 13. I'm like, these are movies I like.
It got me thinking about it too. Twitter, Ronnie tweeted Martin's going to have to get some pop vinyls because of Die Hard ones, and Martin said that's the best Christmas movie ever. So then I wasn't closely following the thread, but Mike Myers kept on debunking all of these like non-Christmas Christmas movies as being not Christmas movies, just movies that happen to take place during Christmas, like Die Hard or Lethal Weapon or Gremlins. Those are the three I specifically saw, but I just thought that was kind of funny. And I always think that that whole debate is funny, but I'll say another more famous podcaster than I has said, and that, you know, if you watch a movie and it's celebrating Christmas for you, it's a Christmas movie, you know, doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That just got me thinking about it.
The three weird ones that popped up, you mentioned Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, and Gremlins. I never associated with them with Christmas, but thinking about it, it's like, yeah, they're during Christmas, so I get it. So,
yep. For me, I kind of look at those two. Like, I watched Die Hard. I mean, I'm sure I've seen it before, but I never really. It's one of those things where, like, I had to have seen that, but, like, it didn't mean anything. I got Die Hard, I think it was last year to watch. And, like, they strike me as, like, a change of pace Christmas movie. It's a way to, like, still be kind of in the theme of Christmas, in the Christmas spirit or whatever. And, but watch something that's different, not just like a movie that is just all about the holiday of Christmas, which I love those movies too. But what are some of your favorite Christmas movies?
Okay, excluding Gremlins, Lethal Weapon, and Die Hard, and I was gonna say Bad Santa. Bad Santa is a Christmas movie, but it's not really a Christmas movie. It's something else. Look back at the classics, It's a Wonderful Life and Miracle on 34th Street. But what I've got, Elf, Nightmare Before Christmas, which covers two holidays.
My son loves that one.
Home Alone, of course. The one they play all the time during Christmas, A Christmas Story. And one that popped up I forgot was associated with Christmas, and it really is a Christmas movie, is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
See, that's another one that I think kind of falls in that it takes place during Christmas, but it's not a Christmas movie. It's during the Christmas holidays, and ultimately at the end of the movie, the holiday spirit is what matters, yeah.
The very end, it becomes a Christmas movie because of, you know, John Candy, the annoying guy, and, you know, Steve Martin trying to get home to his family for Christmas, and the other guy has no family to get home for Christmas. And yeah, it's one of those you could argue about, but those are that. And, I guess one that pops up is a Christmas Vacation also. Polar Express also. Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny. Some of the movies that you mentioned that are a lot of people's here, it's like, Christmas Vacation, A Christmas Story. Actually, that's one that you said. I never really cared that much for A Christmas Story. Just never did. Christmas Vacation I liked better growing up, and I liked that one more. But yeah, Christmas Story never did it for me. The old movies, like, they're good in their way, but they were never my favorites. Some of my favorites, Mickey's Christmas Carol. That was always one of my favorite cartoons. Mm-hmm. A Muppet Christmas Carol I also loved. Like, those two are two of my favorites.
Yeah.
And Elf is just like a good modern one to watch. It's easy to watch and fun. My son just loves it so much. He even watches, there's these couple of Disney ones that are on Netflix. Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas and Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas. When he was little, we watched those every day for like over a year. Like, that's how was. Like, now I at least I can still tolerate them. I'm glad I can tolerate them because we showed them to him again. Like, he didn't really remember them until he saw them. And then, like, he still really enjoys them. So, My wife really likes all the Rankin and Bass claymation ones. Those are good.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, like there's so many good ones. But yeah, those two, I guess like A Christmas Carol must be my favorite Christmas story. Because I really do like the Mickey's Christmas Carol and the Muppet Christmas Carol, and I guess I've pretty much liked all the adaptations of that story. I've even read the Charles Dickens book, and it's a really good book.
Yeah, it is, yeah. My wife insisted that I bring up her favorite Christmas movie is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's.
See, that's another one that people... It's a Christmas movie. That's not a Christmas movie. It's another movie that it takes place during Christmas. Not even the whole movie takes place during Christmas, and but it's very easy to like watch that and get in the
spirit. It's associated with it, yeah.
So you just...
In this house, it is a Christmas movie.
It goes
movie.
To show that like if it ties into the holidays for you, that's what matters. It doesn't matter what anybody else says.
That's what
I
matters,
just thought it was
yeah.
funny. You know, people get in that debate all the time. And of course, the people who have to be... what's the word, they're like antisocial Christmas people or whatever, like Die Hard, that's the best Christmas movie. Harry Potter's kind of like that too, like I gotta be different, so it's Harry Potter, but whatever you like, you know, I like all those movies, and the more absorbing the Christmas spirit, the better, in my opinion. I started listening to Christmas music with my son weeks ago. I saw somebody tweeting complaining about there being Christmas music before Thanksgiving. I'm like, there's been Christmas music for weeks on my playlist.
Yeah, Delilah was sick on, was it Monday? And I stayed home with her. And I was playing her different Christmas songs. So, yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to wrap it up for us, though.
I think it is. It's getting late. I'm tired. I have to be up early.
You should be.
Yeah, it's East Coast, you know, time thing. But yeah, so this it's been a long time. It's been a month since we've done this. I guess it'll be a couple weeks before we do it again. But you can find us on Twitter, although we'll be on there much less, apparently. But I'm on Twitter at Who's Paul. You are on Twitter at MD Sparkman. The show is on Twitter at Occasionally STW. But yeah, so tweet us. You know, we do check it daily-ish, so... You know, that's the best way to find us. Apparently, Facebook is even worse, so don't try that. I enjoyed this conversation. I hope the people listening got something out of it. But ultimately, I hope everybody takes away the message of, you know, don't feel like you have to do things you don't enjoy. Like, you know, get that freedom from things that are just taking up your time and your mental space, and you'll feel much better for it.
Yeah. Go read Sweet Tooth and declutter your brain.
The end.
The end, period. I was like, okay, we're done. Oh, jeez.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com.
So fearful, be not so pale. Someone watches you, you will not fail. Be not so fearful, be not so pale. Be not so fearful, be not so pale. Be not so sorry for what you've done. You must forget them, it's done. And when you wake up, you'll find that you can run. you're not so sorry for what you've done. Be not so nervous, be not so frail. Someone watches you, you won't leave the rails. Be not so nervous, be not so frail. Be not so nervous, be not so frail. Be not so sorry for what you've done. You must forget that I'm now stunned. And when you wake up, you will find that you can run. Be not so sorry for what you've done.